Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It's good to be with everyone on this eighth day of December 2017. It's Friday, and maybe you're saying, thank God it's Friday. Well, praise the Lord. We thank God for every day that we're living and breathing. Amen. Today, I want to tackle an issue that is right before our eyes. And I claim no authorship or expertise on this particular issue, but I've learned a few things over the years, and I would like to throw my two cents into the pot, if you will. And hopefully today, those of you that are tuning into the broadcast will also participate in this particular Bible study. And maybe there are some scholars out there who are really diligently studying these end time issues, and I know that we have the potential here on the Omega Radio Network to interview some of the experts that are out there in the topic we're going to be talking about today. So hopefully in the future we will. But what about you and I gathering together this morning on this eighth day of December and discussing what basically has transpired in the last couple of days, when the President of the United States of America made a decision, a proclamation, an announcement that Jerusalem is to be recognized as the capital of Israel, and why the Palestinians, why the neighbors are so angry about it and why they're so upset about it. So that's what we're going to talk about here in the first place, and I'm going to begin in the book of Genesis. Why? Because Genesis is all about the beginning. It's really the seed, if you will, of everything that follows. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, let's get to it. Genesis chapter 12, and let's begin in verse 1. It says there, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." Wow. Now, you talk about being on assignment, right? And my goodness, there could not be a greater assignment. But let's look at a little bit of the definition to what we're talking about here. Number one, what is God saying when he says to Abraham that those who bless you will be blessed, and those that curse you will be cursed, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed? What is God saying to Abraham? Abraham, as you know, is Iraqi, in modern terms. He came from the land of the Chaldeans, or he came from the land of Ur. This is Iraq. And God called him out. And so in verse 1, he said, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. So the very first act we see in Abraham's life is that he's being separated from everything that was usual to him. He was being called out. And do you know that the word church in the New Testament is, the Greek word is ekklesia. Do you know what it actually means? The word for church in the Greek is ekklesia, and it means called out ones, called out ones. And in Genesis 12:1, we see a type and shadow here when the Lord says to Abraham, I am calling you out of your country. I'm calling you out from your kindred, your kind, and I'm calling you out from your father's house, your family, and I'm bringing you to a land that I will show you. So the very first step in the journey of Abraham is the calling. And the very first step in the journey of a Christian or a believer is the same. It is a calling out from what we are so used to. And there is a beautiful blessing here. And God is calling us, as we know today, into a land that he is revealing to us. And I want you to know something. While this is absolutely talking about physical things, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we find this very interesting passage of scripture concerning the life of Abraham. And in Hebrews 11, let's go to verse 8. And it says there, Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. All right, so this is going back to Genesis 12. He obeyed. He went out from where? From his country, from his father's house, from his kindred. And he knew not where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice who the heirs are, Isaac and Jacob. And then verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. All right, so Abraham was called out, he was journeying, and he was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And then a little bit later, it talks about Abraham again, and in verse 14, we read this in Hebrews 11:14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, you know, Abraham came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Ah. Now watch this. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. So I want you to notice something here, that there is a city of God that God has prepared for them. It is heavenly. It is the kingdom of God. That's where this is all going. And so we return now to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to follow two paths here. We have to see the natural physical path, and we have to see the spiritual path, and then we're going to touch on why the Palestinians today are so upset and angry about the decision of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, which predominantly is speaking to the Jewish people. All right, so here we go. In the natural, we know that God raised up Abraham, he blessed him, and then he said something very profound, that in you, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. All right, so all the families of the earth, that includes everybody, will be blessed because of what is in Abraham. Now, physically, when we talk about this physical seed of Abraham, he has a seed. And how many of you know who the true seed of Abraham is? Well, according to the lineage of Abraham and Isaac, we know that Isaac was the seed of promise. He was the one that God had promised Abraham. And we also know that prior to Isaac being born, the promised seed in the flesh, that Abraham and Sarah got a little impatient. And before Isaac was born, Sarah told Abraham to go in unto her handmaiden, Hagar. Hagar was a servant from Egypt. Abraham capitulated to Sarah's request because Sarah was saying, Abraham, we've been waiting many, many years, and this so-called promise of your God about bringing forth seed, it's getting really late because you're nearing 100 and I'm in my 90s and my womb is dead, and you know, you better do something. Maybe you need to go in unto my handmaiden Hagar to get this thing rolling. And so Abraham capitulated. He went into Hagar, the Egyptian slave, and she produced Abraham's son, his firstborn son. And who was the firstborn son of Abraham? It was Ishmael. Ishmael. And we learn through the scriptures that Abraham loved Ishmael. Ishmael was the treasure of Abraham's heart. And then we find out in the story of Abraham that later on the angel of God comes to him and says, hey, that's not the plan of God at all, what you and Sarah just did. By this time next year, Sarah is going to conceive and she's going to bring forth a man child and you're going to name him Isaac. And now Sarah laughs at this because she's listening in the other tent and she thinks that's insane because her womb is dead. She's in her 90s, right? She's 89 years old at the time. Abraham is 99 years old. And now God gives his commandment, God's will, God's purpose was never in Ishmael. It is to be an Isaac. And so a year later, through the long story, Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Isaac is the promised seed that God spoke to Abraham about at the beginning. Okay, this is very common. This is all right there in Genesis. From chapter 12 on, you see this story in full bloom. Now, the problem that we run into is that Ishmael, Abraham's firstborn son, he's older than Isaac. And when Isaac was born, Ishmael began to persecute him. Literally tells us, as a little boy, he mocked him. And there was the realm of persecution. Ishmael was not a very dear friend of Isaac. There was a problem here. Why? Well, Ishmael had Egyptian blood. He was the firstborn. But now that Isaac is born, Sarah, now the mother of Isaac, is putting demands on Abraham. I don't want this Ishmael, this Egyptian boy, around my son, because Sarah and Abraham are from the same stock, and so they want their son protected, and she is seeing Ishmael not appreciating Isaac. And then, of course, Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, she's got some issues going on against Sarah because Abraham is her husband in this matter. And so there's a tremendous amount of activity going on here. And so God steps in and informs Abraham that here's what you need to do. For the first time in Scripture, God tells a man, listen to your wife. It's true. But it's not the last time. But God does say, listen to your wife in this issue. And so what is the request of Sarah? I want you to get rid of this Hagar, and I want you to get rid of this Ishmael. She is a bondservant, and her son is a bondservant's son, and they will not share in the inheritance of my son and your son, Isaac. So what does Abraham do? Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness to let them go. He literally sends them away, which brings us to two very important points as we move forward to what's happening in Israel today. The first thing that we need to understand about the Palestinians and why they're so angry, why they do not recognize Israel at all, number one, it goes all the way back to the beginning. How would you feel if you were the firstborn son? Now, according to tradition, the firstborn is the heir, okay? I mean, even Jesus Christ is the firstborn son of God, okay, according to the Spirit. And we know that Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. And it is proper that in the economy of families on the earth that the firstborn is the heir. And he gets the inheritance. He's the firstborn. Well, how would you feel being the firstborn? Number one, you don't get the inheritance. The inheritance that's supposed to belong to you is going to pass down to the younger son, your half-brother. Okay, same father, different mothers. Your younger brother is going to get the reward, the inheritance. He becomes the heir. Well, that would spark a little resentment, would it not? And then number two, how would you feel if your father not only rejected you from receiving the inheritance and becoming the heir of that bloodline, but sent you away into the wilderness? Whether you live or whether you die, that's it. Now, we know that Abraham's heart was broken. We know that Abraham trusted God. And we know that Abraham was an obedient man. So in his obedience, he did what God told him to do. Send Hagar, Ishmael, away. Now, Ishmael is carrying this in his DNA. I'm rejected of my father. I was sent into the wilderness. I was supposed to be the heir. And yet everything is going to Isaac. Well, that may breed a little envy and strife and contention. That may breed a little bitterness, resentment, anger, and hate in the heart of Ishmael. But God, being sovereign, finds Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness ready to die. Well, the angel comes, brings them to a fountain of water, declares Ishmael to have a purpose in the economy of God. He is told that he is going to become a great nation. It is said to Hagar that your son is going to give birth, and out of his seed would come a great nation of princes and all these different aspects. So God does not abandon Ishmael. God does not reject Ishmael, only from the eternal purpose that God intended with Abraham and Sarah and their son Isaac. Okay? So God is sovereign. God is good. But on a natural level, you can understand why the hostility would be in the heart of Ishmael. And so when we trace the bloodline of Ishmael and his seed from the beginning of his existence in Genesis to where we are today, well, your Palestinians, your Arabs, you know, it gets all the way down into there's a tremendous amount of activity. And this is where I digress as far as intelligence of the seeds is concerned, because I do know that there were two sons in the loins of Isaac and in the womb of, not Rachel, but in the womb of Isaac's wife, Rebekah. And so in Rebekah's womb, Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau, and they're twins. Jacob was the heel catcher, we're told in Scripture, and he grabbed Esau and held him back, okay? And so he was a swindler from the beginning. So anyways, Esau was supposed to get the inheritance. Esau was supposed to get the inheritance. But again, the inheritance, it was tricked out of Esau, and the inheritance went to Jacob, okay? And that's another whole story. So we have this particular lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet there were other sons involved. Abraham's son, Ishmael, and then Isaac's firstborn son, if you will, Esau. And neither one of those received what was rightfully theirs, according to the natural, but both of the promises and the inheritance went to Isaac and then Jacob, who later became Israel after wrestling with God, who had 12 sons from four different women, two of them being Egyptian themselves. Yeah, that's right. The nation of Israel was born out of four different wives, and Jacob had sex with four different women to produce 12 sons. And there you have the great nation of Israel. That and being a Jew, by the way, was not a nationality. Being Jewish is not a nationality. It's a faith. Okay, well, let's get that straight. So let's go forward today with that little bit of information that we have. So you have these different seeds in the earth, all from the Abrahamic bloodline, right? And you have the Esau, the Edomites, you have the Ishmaelites, you have the Arabs, you have the Palestinians, you have all this stuff coming out, and yet you have the Jew. You have the pure seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who became Israel, and the promises went through the bloodline. And now if you leave everything right there, you can imagine the contention that does exist within that family of Abraham. All those different sons. Now, also, by the way, remember this, that after Abraham gave birth through, obviously, Sarah to Isaac, when Sarah died, what happened? Abraham had another wife. Her name was Keturah, and she gave birth to six more sons of Abraham. And when I was in Jerusalem, I asked the rabbis, where are the six sons of Abraham today? And their best guess was somewhere in China, believe it or not. But there were six sons of Abraham after the death of Sarah. So Abraham really had how many sons? He had eight sons, six from Keturah, one from Hagar, and one from Sarah. So there were eight sons. Now, these nations or these sons produced. And this is what has filled the earth. Okay. So you can understand, leaving things there, how the contention would be so hostile. Ishmael, the Ishmaelites today, in the Palestinians, the Arabs, wherever they are, they believe they have the right to the land. They are the heirs of the promises, that they are the firstborn, that they have every right. And they're challenged by this because the idea that their father, Abraham, sent them off into the wilderness to die, well, that's a very intense thing. You talk about being rejected. Again, what does that breed? Then you have the Edomites from the loins of Isaac who were rejected as well. Well, their seed spread around, and that's another mixture. And then you have these other six sons. And then right in the middle of all of this is the promise. Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes. And out of there, you have what we call the Israeli nation or the Jews. And then, of course, there are true Jews and there are false Jews, and we'll get into that another time. But why the anger today in Israel? Why the anger today in Jerusalem? Why the spark of outrage throughout the Islamic world? Why? Because this is the oldest contention, littered with envy, strife, and contention. This is where bitterness, resentment, anger, and hate are boiling. And every time there seems to be a little bit of peace and everybody's getting along for a moment, you avoid the issues, you bring the issue up again, and it ignites something. You turn up the heat, and it boils. And what just happened with President Trump doing what he did, it is now turning up the heat in the Middle East. This ancient animosity, this enmity, is now rising against the Jews in the natural. But there is something better, ladies and gentlemen. There is an answer to the problem. It is not a seven-year peace treaty. The seven-year peace treaty, or you know, the Middle Eastern peace talks, that is never going to be the answer. That is never going to bring solace. That is never going to work. You and I should know that by now. There will be no peace amongst these fallen seeds, if you will. Not even today. There's something greater. And I want to get into this. And this is a good time to go to Galatians chapter 3 when we're talking about the seed, because we need to understand what God meant when he said to Abraham, and we go back to Genesis 12 on this one, when he said to Abraham, out of you and of you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Was God saying to Abraham, Abraham, when you give birth to Isaac, And Isaac gives birth to Jacob, and Jacob becomes Israel and has 12 sons and becomes a great nation, that nation in and of itself is going to produce the blessing to the ends of the earth? Or was there something else involved? Well, in Galatians chapter 3 in the New Covenant, the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew, he was from the stock of Abraham, he was from the tribe of Benjamin, he is now going to give us a little bit of insight, and we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 3 and begin in verse 6. Galatians 3, 6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Are you of faith, brother? Are you of faith, sister? If you are of faith in God, in Jesus Christ, you are the children of Abraham. So now we have a ninth seed, if you will. The Gentiles, the believers, those who have faith, okay? So he has eight natural sons, but now comes spiritual children. The same that are the children of Abraham are those who are of faith. Verse 8 goes on to say, "The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." All right, let's just, you know, marinate in that just a little bit. I mean, this goes all the way back to the ancient promise, which means if you're of faith, you have to go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and grasp something. Number one, if you're of faith, you are blessed. There is a blessing that is transferred to your life. He who blesses you, Abraham, will be blessed. And if you are of the seed of Abraham, then the blessing that God gave to Abraham and his seed is upon you. Now, we're being told here that we, the Gentiles, the heathen, who have come to faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, we are the children of Abraham. So in other words, at the very beginning, God had something else in mind that was not just natural. This is very important. Now, it goes on, and I want to skip on down to verse, let's get down to verse 13. Well, you know what? Let's just continue on. Verse 10. "For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Speaking of the Torah, speaking of those who are under the law, that's verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law." Remember where our justification comes from. It comes from faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is justification by faith. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." And that's who our father Abraham was. He was the father of faith. Now, the law in verse 12 is not of faith, "but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Why now? Verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ." So the blessing that God gave to Abraham and his seed comes on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So your faith in Jesus Christ has made you an heir of the promise, the heir of the blessing. And then it goes on to say that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's no greater promise, there's no greater heirhood than getting the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the eternal life in you and I. So that we're not just heirs of this physical life of a little piece of land over in the Middle East, you know, or ruling as kings on thrones on planet Earth for a few years. No, we have an eternal inheritance, and the Spirit of God, the promise of the Spirit, is given to those who are of faith, and we receive this eternal Spirit, and we have something eternal now working in us. But listen to this. in verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls it or adds to it. Now watch in verse 16. This is important. This ties everything in. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. Okay, now we're going to get down to the one seed to whom the promises were made. So all the promises of God that were given to Abraham are in this seed. Think about that. All the promises of God that were given to Abraham were in this particular seed he's about to talk about. Now, immediately we say, well, the promises to Abraham were in his seed, Isaac, but that's not what this says. Listen, it goes on to say, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Oh boy, Christ is the seed. When God was speaking to Abraham back in Genesis that in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, it was not in the Jewish nation physically, but it was in the seed, which is Christ, that came out of the Jewish nation or the Israeli nation or the people of Israel or the genuine natural bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes. Well, out of that came Christ, who is the seed of promise. And to the Gentiles who come to faith in Jesus Christ, they are the children of that seed, and therefore the blessing that was given to Abraham and the promises that were made to the seed are now given to us. So here's my contention. I understand why the Palestinians are angry. I understand why Ishmael is angry. I understand why, you know, this hostility exists, this enmity between the two seeds of Isaac and Ishmael exists. I get that. I understand the bitter resentment. I know what it would feel like if my daddy, two sons, and I was given off into the orphan, and if I was sent away and my other half-brother was taken with Abraham in the blessed life, you know, and here I am going over into orphans, and yeah, I might make it big, but I've been rejected by my father. I've been, you know, my mother-in-law didn't like me. She wanted me to be sent away. You know, what did I do? And then the inheritance as the firstborn I was supposed to have is going to him. Yes, I could understand the deep spiritual hostility. However, here's the good news. This whole problem on planet Earth with this issue is resolved only one way. That is by the Jew, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the natural bloodline of the Israeli nation. That is by them, and it is by all the Arabs and Palestinians and Edomites and all these different sons of Keturah and the Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace, not a 7-year peace treaty, not peace talks with the Palestinians, and that doesn't work. There will never be peace in that situation until they come to faith in Christ. Now, isn't it awesome that Muslims around the world are being converted to Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, and Jews are being converted to Christ, Arabs are being converted to Christ, Gentiles are being converted to Christ. The underground church in China, if there were the seven sons of Keturah that spread to China, they're being converted to Christ. So this is an amazing thing that the people on planet Earth will enter into the blessing when they come to faith in Christ. And you, dear brother and dear sister, wherever you are today, if you have not yet understood that your faith in Christ has made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and the promises of God belong to you, if you have not yet understood that all the promises made to Abraham and the blessing of Abraham is on you because of your faith, it's time to get it. It's never going to be resolved by peace talks in the Middle East. Never. And the natural Jew that's claiming right to that land over there, You know, that is a natural, carnal, worldly thing, because again, Abraham's true country was a heavenly one. He's looking for the new Jerusalem. He's looking for the city of God that comes down out of heaven in Revelation chapter 21, known as the new Jerusalem. There is a spiritual country, a heavenly country. You and I have been grafted into that. You and I have been given the eternal spirit of God, so that why we're never going to die. We're going to live forever. And if we physically die, we'll be children of the resurrection through our faith in Jesus Christ. But God's eternal purpose is now caught up in you and I. And through the eternal purpose of God in us, we will live forever. We will be part of that new Jerusalem, the eternal city of God. It will not be according to the flesh. It will not be according to natural bloodlines. It will be according to faith in the only begotten Son of God. And ladies and gentlemen, what God has prepared for those of us who love him, eye has not seen nor ear heard. That's why the poor people on this planet are rich in faith, because they have an eternal hope. They are looking beyond this moment on planet Earth. They realize that there's not enough in this world to measure to the true inheritance that we're going to receive in eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, life on Earth is a breath. It is a shooting star. It is a vapor. It is here today and gone tomorrow. We should not be putting so much stock in what's going on planet Earth. And so we get it. We understand the poor Palestinians, the poor Arabs, and they're not poor, to some degree, but they're such a physical problem. And even the poor Jews, if I could put it, the Israelis. Just because you're an Israeli does not make you a part of the eternal inheritance and the eternal life, unless you receive the Holy Spirit of God within you that comes only through faith in Messiah Yeshua. You cannot be part of the eternal purpose of God. Sure, you want to fight for that land in the Middle East? Go ahead. You could say that's a promise given to us, and so it is. But Abraham, your father, had a greater vision than that desert land over there in the Middle East, and that greater vision was a heavenly Jerusalem, a better country, something way beyond anything this world could ever afford. And again, fight for it. Let the nations fight for it. But without Christ, there is no eternal inheritance. You know who the real heirs are? You who have faith in Christ, you are the heir of eternal life. You are heirs of the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, yellow, green. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your nationality, ethnic culture is. None of that matters. Your faith in Christ is what brings you into the inheritance that God has prepared. And God has a life for you here on earth. He has a plan for you. He has an assignment for you and I. Yes, we're caught up in the work of the kingdom here on earth. So, we have to be useful to the Lord. That's why we're in this season of assignments and what things that God wants to get done on the earth through you and I. But understand this, that when we leave this planet, we're getting, number one, in the resurrection, a brand new eternal body, a body that never gets sick, never dies, doesn't get old. There's no darkness. There's no pain. There's no suffering. And it's an eternal life that is ahead of us. And we can't even begin to describe what God has prepared for us. So what are we talking about here? I get so blessed when I think about this, because when we condescend to natural thinking and carnal thinking about this world, we lose sight of the reality that our existence is not about planet Earth. In fact, the Apostle Paul cried he longed to leave this earth to be with the Lord. He knew there was something beyond this life. And yet he said, for the sake of the church, I'm going to stay behind. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to continue my work of apostleship, and I'm going to continue to build and bring revelation and knowledge to the Jews and the Gentiles. I'm going to bring them to an understanding that it's not about your natural bloodlines or the bloodline of Adam. I'm going to bring you to an understanding that everything that you're looking for is in Christ Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the firstborn of many sons. I am going to labor to get the revelation out to you. And ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years later, we're still digging and trying to unearth and to bring out of the burial grounds of religion the truth of what this is really all about, a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And He is as much your Father, God, the Creator, as Isaac was the son of Abraham. But that's a worldly thing. You and I are the sons and daughters of God. We are the true heirs of eternal life. And it has nothing to do with being Jewish or Arab or Gentile. It has to do with our faith in Jesus Christ. And then once I have faith in Christ, I enter into a paradigm of life. I enter into a newness of life where my existence on planet Earth is guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. And I live out the purposes of God, and I never become so earthly minded. And I never bind myself to the things of this earth. The way to live on planet Earth is loosely. Hold nothing as your own. Possess, in other words, nothing. The moment we become possessive, that we're going to possess the things of the earth, we begin to lose grip on reality. Because the things that we're going to possess, we're not going to take with them when we die anyways. Come on, that's obvious. So why live to possess? The Apostle Paul said, we have all things but possess nothing. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We use the world, but we don't abuse it. In other words, depend on it. Ladies and gentlemen, our life is being lived for the eternal future, the eternal hope. And yet there's an assignment for every one of us on this earth. Well, that is about the extent of my expertise on this issue. And I just wonder what your thoughts are about these things. Was that a blessing to you? Did that bring understanding? Was it comprehensive? How do you feel about this? The number to call, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. You and I should be the happiest people on the planet. And remember, press 1 on your dial pad if you'd like to join me in the conversation. But again, you and I cannot afford to allow these promises to be eclipsed in our minds, you know, because of what religion is saying. I'm reading to you the Bible right here, that Christ is the seed of promise, and that you and I who are in promise, my God, here we are. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Can you understand being rejected by your father? Can you understand what you would feel like if your father not only rejected you, but sent you into the wilderness? Can you understand what you would feel like if you were the firstborn and you were supposed to have the inheritance and yet it was given to someone else, a younger brother? What would that do in your insides? Jealousy, envy, hatred, murder. I mean, it came to a saving knowledge of faith. And again, I love the fact that God saved Ishmael in the wilderness and said, I'm going to make a great nation of you and I'm going to bless you. That goes all the way back to the beginning. And yet the Jew and the Arab, Isaac and Ishmael, until they turn to faith in God's preeminent son, the only one who has preeminence, until they turn to him, they have no eternal hope. They have no eternal life. It doesn't exist. What they have is a mere existence in the Middle East and all these different things that are going on, which are, you know, wonderful. There are things that we see happening in the earth that are fabulous. Don't get me wrong. There is a natural reality and there is a spiritual reality. And we have to rightly divide and understand. But we're not the observers looking over there at what God gave them. No, we are the heirs if we have faith in Jesus Christ. We are the children of Abraham. Listen, that is a mindset. We have a spiritual father named Abraham, but we also have a spiritual father named Abba, our daddy, our father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean to you and I? Are you struggling in your life today trying to make ends meet? Are you sweating by the brow? Are you living under the curse? Well, that simply means that you have not yet come to faith. You've not yet understood your position in Christ. Is there anything wrong with working? Nope. Anything wrong with raising a family? Nope. Anything wrong with working hard? Nope. But that's not your reality. And what if God would say to you today, I want you to give up that job and that way of life that you've been in. I want to call you into ministry. I want to call you into my end time purpose because I'm about to do something on the planet that's going to change the world. You have entered into a dispensational moment There have been many dispensations, but I'm about to do something that's been concealed in the old. It's going to be revealed in the new. And remember, we're still in the new covenant, folks. We are a new covenant people. We're not beyond that. We're in that. And that new covenant within the church age is leading to the kingdom age. And God is looking for some people available to him. And he may be saying to you in your heart one day, hey, I want you to leave this job behind. I've got another job for you to do. Know who you are. Know who you are. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you into the broadcast. I hope that I have done a sufficient job of at least laying a little bit of foundation to this massive discussion, but I think we could all agree and conclude beyond the shadow of a doubt that the only peace that will ever come to any person on this planet will come through their faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and receive the grace, for it is through justification we have peace with God. You want peace in your life? It's going to come through Christ, because he's going to reconcile us to the Father, declare us not guilty, and we're going to continue on in the eternal purpose. Let's take our first call this morning, always from my dearest friend and beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Patricia, how did we do this morning?
I think we did good. Hello, everyone, and God bless you. I have a question. Was Jacob being pressed by Esau's heel in the womb?
Was Jacob? Let's think that one through. When you say, was Jacob grabbing the heel of Esau?
Yes. Was it in that direction?
Why don't we just read it? Huh?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So let's read it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. Okay. And let's go to verse 24.
Yes.
So Genesis chapter 25, verse 24 says, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now, this is speaking of Rebekah. There were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So there's your firstborn. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So it's said that Esau came out first. He's the firstborn. But then it says that when Jacob came out, he grabbed hold of the heel of Esau. And the word Jacob there, have you ever looked at the word Jacob? I mean, it's really amazing. The word Jacob, when it says he grabbed his heel, and that name actually means a heel catcher, a supplanter, and it goes into either even some deeper roots. So you have a guy that's a heel catcher, and it means to circumvent, to assail, overreach insidiously, to supplant. And in other words, he's a swindler. He's a cheater. He is, you know, what was in him, there was something striving in him. And so, yes, to answer your question, that's exactly what happened.
My thought regarding the division between the faithful and the bond, possible and something to consider, and I honestly don't truly know, but because Ishmael persecuted Isaac, and because Esau persecuted Jacob, could that be the reason that the persecution still continues? And if that did not happen in the very beginning with Ishmael persecuting Isaac, would there have been an acceptance by God to continue in the work of his plan to all the nations of the world to be at peace?
Yeah, you know, it goes all the way back to Genesis, and I want to answer that because there's a prophecy about he will crush your heel and you will crush his head. There'll be enmity
right.
between his seed and your seed. So there's a prophecy of enmity, but I want to make this clear that in Genesis 25, 31, it says, Jacob said to his brother Esau, sell me this day your birthright. And so Esau really did have the birthright. And yet the heel catcher, the supplanter, is now grown up and he's now getting his brother's birthright. That was the whole thing of what was going on in the womb. And in Genesis 25:32, Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And then Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, he got his pottage. He got his lentils. He did eat. He went away. But the supplanter, the heel catcher, Jacob, swindled his brother out of his inheritance, out of the birthright. And that's where things got more ugly. But in Ishmael's case, he wasn't swindled. He just was not declared to be. In Esau's place, the heel catcher got it, but it was prophetic. It was part of his whole the whole plan. His mother knew this by the Spirit of God because God told her, "You're the younger or the older will serve the younger." And so, yes, getting back to your point, yes, there's a lot of animosity. There could be peace, but now the only way of peace for all this is through Jesus Christ. And yet we're not seeing a lot of peace, not even in Christendom, are we, Patricia?
No, we're not. But I go back to Ishmael. He persecuted Isaac. He made it difficult for his life even then, for there was even a command for him to be put away. He was already persecuting his brother, and the mother was already persecuting the free woman. So in all of that, could that be the basis for the reason of God and having him being taken away so that the free can continue on, the one that was persecuted could continue on to fulfill prophecy?
Well, absolutely it can. And again, this brings up another point that the enmity that began in the garden with a prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, the enmity, and then seeing that enmity between Ishmael and Isaac, and seeing that enmity between Esau and Jacob, and seeing that enmity, you know, expressed throughout the generations, we come to the book of Revelation, where the greatest of enmities during the greatest tribulation will arise against those who keep the commandments of God and those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so it does appear that the end time enmity and hostility is going to burst into what we call the greatest tribulation on the face of the earth. And beyond that, we will finally come into that realm of peace under the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But Patricia, I don't think there's any peace in this world right now because of the rejection of the Son of God to those that refuse to bow the knee, whether they be Jews or Gentiles.
He corrected it and made it right on the cross, and I agree. And
yeah.
I believe that the confusion between the Palestinians, the Muslims, and Israel still goes back to the fact that Ishmael was jealous of Isaac and still is.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly there. He did not like that enmity was there, no doubt about it. Stay on the line with me. We'll continue the conversation, but I want to give opportunity. We've got about 5 minutes or six left in the broadcast to receive another call. And let's take this call from Pastor Ken Wagner going this morning. How are you today, Pastor Ken?
Well, Pastor, I am blessed as usual. Praise the Lord.
Good news, my friend.
Amen, amen. You know, you came up, I hadn't really given that much thought before about the firstborn that way, but that answered a lot of questions for me. Then my mind started wandering a little bit, and I began to think of why there were so many problems even in the Bible with children. And I look at Joseph being the last born, and I can see why the older sons, the firstborn sons, were all having a lot of difficulty. And David with Absalom, you know, on there, because Solomon was going to be the one that was going to be chosen to lead. when he felt that he should. And, you know, I'm going to take this all the way back to the analogy between Satan on there, thinking primarily that he was the chief angel, if you want to put it that way, the one that should be in charge. And yet God is now choosing his people on earth to supplant him, to do what is right, and bring forth God's honor and glory all the way through. And you know, that just brings up a whole different realm when you begin to think about it that way. Comments?
Yeah, well, what I find amazing about that is you brought up an excellent point that Joseph was the youngest of all the brothers, and David was the younger of his seven brothers. And so in the world, the elder is to get the inheritance, but in the kingdom, it looks like the younger is getting the inheritance. We're seeing that in Isaac. We're seeing that in Jacob. We're seeing that in Joseph. We're seeing that in David. And yet it culminates in the firstborn son, Jesus Christ, who is the heir of all things. I mean, that is very interesting, and it does create a tremendous amount of animosity.
Yeah, and another component, you know, thank God that Jesus was the firstborn. If he had other brothers and sisters before him, I could see the same thing going on again, you know, literally in people's minds, because they've been blinded by the enemy. But, you know, God has a purpose in all these things, and it's really good in the sense that he gives each and every one of us a chance to become greater than we are because of just birthright. You know, the human nature is kind of unique in this whole realm, and they look for anything that they can get to achieve greatness and honor and glory and all these other things. But God gives each and every one of us a chance to rise up above what the earthly realm would say is the right way to do it.
You know, and it gives to another thought. You, when you think about the beginning, that the first, you go back to the book of Genesis, the beginning, you know, there's your firstborn. Here you have Abraham, and you have all of this, and you follow the lineage. Well, Jesus was born out of the bloodline of David. You know, he's the Davidic bloodline according to the flesh. So he's really the last one to be born before something new begins. And so
right.
The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And the last in that whole story was Yeshua, Jesus, and he becomes the first in the new creation of what God is doing. What an amazing plan that God has. And you know what? It's too complex for me, but I know one thing, that according to this promise, because of the Holy Spirit that's come into my life, I have eternal life, and so does everybody else, and we are heirs of the promise. What a rich blessing, something to really be understood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody else out there? I've got two of the big hitters on here with me right now, Pastor Ken, Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier, and where are our other friends? Any final thoughts before we move on today? It is Friday. We're moving into the Shabbat. We're going to have a beautiful weekend of rest and gathering together. But I've got 90 seconds. I'm going to bring in South Dakota. Hello, Ken, Kathy. How are you?
Good. We're traveling right now. I've read in the Bible that there was two nations in Rebekah. And when you follow that and all the way through, there was a covenant that God kept, and he never broke it.
Amen to that. Yes, according to the natural and according to the spirit, and one is greater than the other. You guys be safe out there while you're driving. It's an amazing time,
thank
and
you.
We have a lot more to learn. We have a lot
amen.
More to learn.
Yes.
Amen.
It was very good.
But let me
thank
ask you a question, Kathy. Are you an heir of the eternal promises of God?
Amen. Joint heir.
You're a joint heir.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right. You are a joint heir. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, Ken, if you're listening in. Pastor Ken Wagner, thank you so much for your conversation today. And Patricia Joy, thank you for yours. We've run out of time, so we've got to get rolling here. I want to encourage you, if you're out there today, if you would consider blessing the Omega Radio Network. We're on assignment. This radio station is on assignment, and if you would go to the Omega Radio webpage, which is www.omegaradio.com, you'll go to our website, And we would love to know that you're taking care of the ministry that is being a blessing to you. Shalom. Till we meet again Monday morning, I'm Pastor Vince. God bless.